It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been looking in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says there, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, we've discussed this, we've talked about this. But let me close this verse by saying salvation is the most important of all the subjects for mankind, and therefore, it is of the greatest importance that children should be taught the truth. Well, who else can God require that the truth be taught to children properly other than that parent who knows Jesus Christ as Savior? Knowing Jesus Christ as Savior is the greatest gift anyone could ever receive, because that's a gift that never ends. It's eternal life. That eternal life, once again, comes through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Well, if it be asked in what way a parent is to bring up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I would answer like this. First, the parent is to directly impress the importance of the teachings of the Lord and to follow the Lord's admonitions as found in the Word of God, the Bible. And I believe that the Word of God, the Bible, is the King James Bible. Secondly, the parent is to bring that child into an atmosphere where the Lord is worshipped in spirit and in truth. That is, the local Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching local church. The parent is to be faithful to attend the local church on a regular basis, not only because of the admonition of the Lord found in Hebrews 10:25, and I'm going to read that in just a moment, but also as an example to the child. The parent is to be the example of one who loves the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, the more, as you see the day approaching." Well, Jesus Christ has left us an outline. First, how to get saved, and then what we're to do after we're saved. Not to be saved again or to get saved, but because we are saved. We're to be members of a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. You say, what is a good church? It's one that stands upon the Word of God. One that does not deviate from "thus saith the word of God, thus saith God." You need to get into the Word of God, study the Word, so that you'll know what is a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. Get into the Word, get a King James Bible, study that Word, and don't let anybody tell you that you can't understand the King James Bible. The Bible itself teaches us that when we get saved, we have the Spirit of God living within us, and the Bible says that He's going to lead us into all truth. And because you as a saved person have the Holy Spirit, He's going to guide and direct you, and you'll be able to understand the King James Bible. Don't let anyone try to tell you that you cannot understand the King James Bible. The Bible, the Word of God. Well, the third thing I would say is this. The parent is to pray for spiritual guidance in efforts to lead the child to salvation. I believe that is the prime responsibility of a parent, is to bring that child to Jesus Christ. That parent cannot save the child, but that parent can sure show that guide, that child the guidance that he or she needs. Well, these duties are plain, simple, easy to be accomplished. And these are such that a parent knows he or she can perform, that they have the ability to do that, and that is once they've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If the duties from God to the parent for the child is neglected, the soul of the child may be lost, and as a result, the parent will have a fearful explanation to give to God one day, either at the judgment seat of Christ or at the white throne judgment. Now, let me remind you, those who stand at the white throne judgment are lost. they're on their way to the lake of fire because they have not trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And yes, they will give an account as to why they do not train their children in the way they should go. Well, we look next in verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, "Their servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." Well, please allow me to give an overview of verse 5 and then a closer look at it. First of all, I see this, the word servants. The word servants seems to indicate people who are obligated to submit themselves to serving others. And the service provided by those who are servants could be free or voluntary, or they may also include people who are either slaves or those who surrender to serve others. And the word servants is used many times in the New Testament, and it does not necessarily mean slaves. You see, for in Christ, the Bible says this, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. And many times I will say this, that, you know, we're not, as saved people, we're not better than anyone else. We're not better than that unsaved person. We're just better off. Because we know that we're on our way to heaven. And after this life, we're going to be there with our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be there whether or not the breath of life leaves our body or he comes back and takes us and says, "Come up hither," and rapture the church. We're going to be with him. So we're no better than that person who's never trusted Jesus Christ. We're just much better off. There's no way to explain how much better off we are. Well, you can't explain it because you can say this, you have eternal life, and that life is through Jesus Christ. That person without Jesus Christ, they don't have life. The Bible teaches that they are dead in trespasses and sins. And one of these days, they're going to hear Jesus Christ look at them and say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." And then they will be cast into the lake of fire. That's an awesome thing to think about. Not only as an unsaved person, but as a saved person who has the responsibility of helping others know Jesus Christ while here on this earth right now. We have a responsibility as saved people to help other people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We can't save them, but Jesus can. And we can witness to that lost person. We can pass a tract to them, or we can tell them what Jesus did for us and then explain how he did it, how that he saved us and we're now on our way to heaven. Tell them about Jesus, and he's the one who will save them. Well, there are several things, getting back to our verse here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. There are several things we can receive from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. And first of all, I notice that the general duty presently upon servants is that of obedience. First of all, to their masters according to the flesh. And that's in that verse. And that is in temporary things only. In other words, obey your earthly bosses in things that pertain to the world. Some people, they really can't, you know, they go from job to job because they don't like the boss. Well, we're to listen to the boss because he's the one that pays our salary. And we are to obey earthly bosses in things that perform to that pertain to the world and leave our soul's keeping and obedience to God only. Christian liberty can mean, as servants or workers, to be obedient in duty in all things that are lawful. Do the things that we're told as we have those who are over us, people who are our superiors, we might say. Now, once again, they're not superior to us as a human being, but let's face it, when we have a job, we're expected to perform that job, and that boss is there to see that we do it. And we do that as a servant. Well, something else here, the person who submits to someone who is in charge of them, as we could say his or her boss, are to submit with fear and trembling. That is, with fear of displeasing the person, the boss. And yet a person must not act only from fear, but out of respect and kindness. How? As unto God, because this is the way God wants us to perform our duties as servants in this world. Something else I see here. submitting must be in singleness of heart, and that is with one thing in mind. To serve without complaining. To serve or work with earnestness of spirit without deceit, hypocrisy, or complaining. Not trying to figure out how to get out of work, but how to get our work done purposely and get it done right. Something else is those who are servants or workers must view or remember their great master in heaven when it comes to the services they perform for their earthly masters. Not with eye service only, that means while the boss is watching, but the person who is working for someone needs to give it all they have, even when the boss is not around. They need to work as they're working for the Lord. Well, how should servants look to their great master in heaven? Well, the answer is this, I believe. They should perform their duties as one who has the view that they are in the presence of their great master, to the glory of their great master, to the command of their great master, and to the assistance and acceptance of their master in heaven. Of course, we know that's the Heavenly Father. The Bible says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 says that. But when we learn that all we do in service to others, whether it be to have a boss or someone we respect and someone who has oversight of us, when we learn that all we do in that service to others, as well as working for someone, our viewing or recognition of God in all the services we perform, and we need to remember that making him the judge and spectator of all our actions, this will be a great help to make us sincere and single-hearted in all things we ever endeavor to do. Not only to a boss or someone who has the oversight of us, but in everything we do in this life, we are being taught by God that he is the one who has bought and paid for us. And we're going to see that in just a few moments. I see something else. The service of a servant must be performed with goodwill. What's that mean? Well, that is with cheerfulness and satisfaction. You mean, when I work, I've got to be happy about it? Well, you're supposed to be. We're to do it with cheerfulness and satisfaction, not grudgingly or unpleasantly, or from fear of punishment only, but as one who sees the Lord Jesus Christ in all the service that we do for him, that we do for the men, for the person who has oversight of us. We're doing it for the Lord. And see, we are to learn that the most unsavory and lowest services and employments in the place and position which God sets us in, when being done with right motives, is service done to Christ, and as such shall be accepted and rewarded by him. See, when we submit to doing God's way, we are doing work as a service as to the Lord and not to men. This is the reason Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "As unto Christ." Well, my question is, do you know him today as your Savior? If you've never trusted him, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you can't save yourself. Admit that you know you can't go your way, but you want to go God's way now. That's a change of mind, and that's repentance by faith. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Trust him today, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.